Support for TortureCast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TortureCast at manscaped.com.
Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
The plate a little bit. 2-2 pitch.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out.
The ball game is over. The regular season is over. And the San Francisco Giants have done what was said they could not do. They have beaten LA for the National League Western Division title. It took 107 wins to unseat the Dodgers at the top of the National League West, which says a lot about how good they are. And if you're the team that won 107, well, that says it all about how good you are.
As we were all kind of hugging on the field, one of the things that stood out or what was being repeated quite a bit was, I'm really proud of you. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is how proud I am of this group and what they accomplished, and also how proud I am of all of you.
It's really, really cool. You know, it's a real feather in the cap of these players because they worked so hard to get here. They never quit. I mentioned that even in games when we were down at times, they always felt like they were going to come back and win the game. And as a result, we all felt that as well. So we just got behind them and supported their initiatives and their mission and their vision. So now we have more steps to take. And, you know, it's our job to stay focused on the step right in front of us once we celebrate, of course.
Welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your San Francisco Giants. And yes, indeed, the Giants have done it. They are champions of the National League West. And joining me today, Eric Nathanson from Las Vegas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Giants are NL West champs. Who would have thunk it? It took 107 wins, but who would have thunk it? I'm happy as a clam. How you doing, Willie?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hangover has lasted a couple days now because the day of. So I actually left work. I was working that day until 4 o'clock my time, which meant that I left at about the seventh inning, was like flying home, trying to make sure I was in front of my TV by the time the game actually came to a close. Because at that point, like, it was a celebration. It was celebration time, right? We had the weird little thing where we gave up three in like the seventh or whatever it was, or the eighth, I can't remember, but you know, we were up 11-1. I was like, okay, I gotta get home, I gotta celebrate. and that's exactly what I did. I just watched highlights all night long, just recapping this entire incredible season. It's been amazing.
It felt like it was gonna happen in the last couple of weeks. It just took a little longer than I thought. Although, you know what? I guess we shouldn't be surprised. It went all the way down to game 162. I mean, it's incredible. It could have gone to 163, which I think our hearts might have exploded if that had happened. But I'm telling you guys, you could have never told me, number one, the Giants are going to win the West. Number two, you're going to make the playoffs. Number three, set their franchise record for wins at 107. I mean, that's just freaking absurd. And then on top of that, beat the Dodgers by only one game. I mean, just so many unlikely scenarios that happen. This is so out of the ballpark. It's like not even in the parking lot. I can't even begin to describe how anomalous this season is. But I know
the Giants, out of the ballpark, by the way, though, I don't know if you guys saw this, but out of the park baseball predicted the Giants to win the World Series. I was like, yeah, let's go.
I was watching an MLB Network on that one. None of the human humans picked the Giants to win. One did predict them to go to the World Series against the Rays and the Rays to win it. But they did highlight, yeah, out of the park baseball 21 or 22, whatever it's at now, did predict Giants, White Sox with the Giants winning. So analytics for the win.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Real simulations, not just eyeball tests. You know what I'm saying?
Well, none of the just heading into it, none of the athletic writers that were polled picked the Giants to win the World Series. And ESPN, they had 36 people predict World Series winners, and 5 out of the 36 chose the Giants. So we don't get to say nobody picked us this year, because legit nobody picked the Cardinals or Red Sox. But five, and Dave Fleming's one of the 5. Doug Glanville's the other one.
Yeah.
Throw that.
You
got to
point that out.
Right. I just do, you know, for integrity's sake.
But I mean, they did get the third most. You know, like the Astros, it's 4. So you know. It's like we've earned some respect with 107 friggin' wins, apparently.
That's all it took.
And it's we're still predicted not to beat the Dodgers, by the way. Like everyone thinks that the Dodgers are gonna beat the Cardinals in one game. They come in here and just steamroll the Giants now, even though they lost the season series. I guess I don't see it, but whatever.
Yeah. I think it's just about the pitching rotation. It's just pitching, pitching, pitching. Everybody just keeps going, well, how can you beat Scherzer, Urias, Bueller, you know? And it's like, well, the Giants have. Well, maybe not Scherzer. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's like they can beat them. They have. They've done this before. So, I mean, it's not going to be surprising. Now, I mean, look, on September 9th, right, and this is 2 or 3 podcasts ago, the Dodgers were 2.5 games back of the Giants. Again, Time Machine Chad comes back to me on September 9th and says, dude, the Dodgers are going 18-3 the rest of the way. I'd be like, oh, okay, well, at least the Giants are going to get the wild card. But the Giants went 17-5 and just held off that 18-3 stretch. And, I mean, Dodger fans are just pulling their hair out right now. They're just like, what the hell are we supposed to do? We went 18-3 and we still couldn't win the division.
Supposed to win 108 games, losers.
That's right. every single win mattered. It's absolutely incredible. The Dodgers have now finished with the most wins of any second place team in Major League history. They broke the record of 104 wins by the 1909 Cubs and the 1942 Dodgers. And of course, that's when divisions were a lot larger and you just went right to the World Series. So you had a kind of a greater chance of one other team getting 100-something wins. The Giants' 107 wins are the most by any National League team since the 1986 Mets. And just look how remarkable it was. The Giants were so consistent, which we've been harping on that all year long. Every single month they had a winning percentage of 600 or better. They were 50-23 in the second half, a little bit better than the first half, 54-27 at home, and 53-28 on the road. It doesn't matter where this team plays or when they play. They just are remarkably consistent over a few weeks of time. And I got to tell you, that bodes well for the playoffs, right? I mean, they're not prone to losing streaks. And so, yeah, you can still have a bad series, and you definitely can get bounced in a 5-game series. But I think those strengths are really going to maybe shine in this postseason.
They haven't had a long losing streak longer than 4 games. Neither of the Dodgers. Giants high was 9-game winning streak. Also the Dodgers, which is just amazing when you look at how these numbers line up. But their best months, you totally hit the nail on the head. Their best months, yeah, I'm on the Giants, were August and September. August, 19 wins and 9 losses. September, October, combined them, is 23-7. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So they got better as the season went on. So you're totally right. It does point to that being a good sign for the playoffs, regardless of what the Giants pitching throws out there, and shows that their offense keeps up with it. It's amazing when you look at these numbers. This was a damn historic pennant race, and our team won it. It's just still, like you said, Willie, there's a hangover. And I'm still stunned, like 2 days later, that this team is the team.
It's crazy because it's so good that it's like it's hard to comprehend like what the team actually accomplished, because, you know, we were predicting, okay, well, if they go 4-2, that should do it. Well, 4-2 wasn't going to do it, but they went 5-1 over those last 6 games since our last show. And the Dodgers went 6-0 and it just, you know, didn't lose. And we had to do what we had to do. Magic number was 5, got 5 wins. And so this is like, but then you've got all these other stories in baseball going on where the Cardinals went 17 in a row down the stretch. to get into the postseason. The Dodgers obviously incredibly hot, but the Giants also incredibly hot. And you talk about getting hot at the right time. It's like everyone's hot at the right time. What the hell is going to happen here? Like, something's got to give now, right? So in these playoffs, some team, some fan base is going to be incredibly disappointed with this outcome because there's like too many teams that kind of deserve it, right? Like, Chad, you had that tweet the other day, and I had to clap back at you a little bit. You were like, well, if they, they have four chances. If they don't, they didn't deserve to be there. And I'm like, I don't think you could say this team doesn't deserve anything.
Hey, that was my –
just.
That was my
some team that's very deserving is coming out. Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, that highlights something. I mean, how are you feeling heading into game 162? I mean, I slept like a baby the night before. I even told you guys that during the game. Yeah. I was so calm. It might have been a head injury, it might not have been, but it was. I was so confident in this team because of the way they're confident in themselves. I really thought they were just going to get the job done themselves. How are you guys feeling heading into Sunday's game?
Yeah, same. I thought it was so weird to have lost the game before. I was like, that doesn't really compute for me that we lost that game. So I was like, yeah, but they don't lose another one. Like, not to the Padres, who are collapsing epically. And then we just scored 11. And we just, like, made it easy. It was great.
Yeah, with Logan Webb pitching, I mean, the stats, I don't have him in front of me, but obviously they won like 90% of his starts, you know, and they had all that momentum going despite the loss of the previous day. And I was at the park on Saturday, and I mean, the energy was, I had never felt anything like that since I was, you know, at the World Series in 2012. I think it was game one, actually, yeah, that I went to. I mean, it was a sellout crowd. The energy was just pumping every at-bat, every crucial moment. The crowd was fantastic, standing up, cheering on the Giants, the whole thing. The fact that they had that lead, right, and it went to the eighth inning, and we saw Gausman go out on the mound, and he was at 84 pitches, and everybody in the press box is like, yeah, no, that's a good call. He should definitely, you know. And then, yeah, he suddenly came out. And at first, we were a little confused. We're like, is Cap doing this so he gets the standing O? Like, what's going on here? And then, of course, we found out later his hand was cramping up. And that's what necessitated calling in Littell. Now, normally it would be Rogers, maybe Leon. But they were both, you know, Rogers had just pitched two innings the night before, an inning the night before that. They were gassed. And I totally understand that. And that's what his explanation was. I was scared only because Littell, his stats are good, but he's always the worst in his first batter or two. And so he's given up like six bombs this year on the first batter. And it happened when I went to the Atlanta game. He came in when it was 2-0, first batter hit a bomb, right? So that was what I was really worried about. And sure enough, he went single double, first two batters. And then it was second and third with nobody out. The fact that they got out of that inning with just one run, it was a sac fly by Manny Machado, which, by the way, was interesting because they had first base open and they chose not to intentionally walk him. So they pitched to Machado, and he got sack fly, and that was all they got. But it was frustrating because that, like you said, Willie, it didn't compute. I was like, they're supposed to win this game. It feels like it. They're gonna win this game, and even when it went to extras, it was like they're gonna win this game. The bottom of the ninth, Crawford, man, he put a charge into that ball. It went all the way to 399 in center. Again, if he pulls a little bit to the right, it's a walk-off for the division. That would have been epic, but he hit it to one of the deeper parts in the ballpark. So it was just one of those nights that just didn't work out. But, yeah, Logan Webb going on the mound, I didn't really have too many doubts. I just thought it might be one of the squeakers again, one of the torture games, and it was not. At one point, it was 11-1.
Yeah, it was a party. It was just a celebration at that point.
Logan Webb's homer put the cap on that party. That was the moment it was like, all right, let's party. I feel like Buster getting that base hit with the bases loaded with two outs, you know, coming through in that situation was like the moment where it was like, okay, they're good. They're going to win this game. And then Webb's home run was like, let's party. Pop the champagne. It's over. It was so much fun. The Padres, they've got to feel so depressed with the way their season ended, to see the Giants clinch on them twice, to just deal with everything they dealt with the expectations going into this year. I mean, the Giants turned into what the Padres were supposed to be. I mean, and then to have it shoved in their face every time, it's really quite amusing if you ask me. And just the history of the Giants beating the Padres in these situations. Logan Webb, surpasses the Jonathan Sanchez moment. He just has to, right? I mean, Jonathan Sanchez moment was huge because that was the first World Series run. But, like, we didn't know it at the time. This one was this. I think Webb's probably, you know, outshines that a little bit.
Yeah. Now, we had the Buster Posey, obviously, two-out hit that drove in two. And you don't see Buster get too emotional most of the time. And that was a pretty cool sign as he rounded first. He did the whole, like, yeah! But I got highlights here from the five-run inning, which really kind of blew the game open. So here's a little summary of everything that happened there. I think it was in the fourth inning.
Fly ball situation now.
Right field, it's going to fall.
They will hold. Yastrzemski, LaStella comes through. It's 3-1. Great two-strike at bat from Tommy LaStella. And that's going to be it for LeMet.
I mean, he's been worth his money lately.
On the inside corner, it's not a mistake out over the plate. I mean, it's just great technique.
No, and he yanked it in, just like Kruko's saying there.
To get that bat hit on it.
Yeah, he likes to get that bat hit around.
Down the left field.
Wilmer.
Nobody's this there. Window, yeah. The Giants are off and rolling. Yastrzemski scores. LaStella will be held up at third. Webb scores. Flores comes through. And the Giants
and you get Webb off the base pass.
5-1.
But that walk was friggin' awesome.
Oh yeah.
Apparently Kapler told Webb, just swing the bat, you're a good effing hitter, instead of having him butcher boy after he got hit in the knob with that one pitch.
Oh yeah, that freaked me out after the Brandon Belt play. I was like, come on.
Yeah, no, he got on base what, three times yesterday? He had two hits and a walk.
Single walk, homer.
Yeah. Hit him where they have a day, kid. Have a day, man.
Yeah, that's telling you. Unbelievable.
With one out.
And we got late night here.
Wade goes the other way. Mariznick back. And he will reach up and make the catch.
Mariznick everyone with the tightest hands in the history of baseball.
I don't know how long ago.
But was that Mariznick with the tightest pants?
The tightest pants in the history of baseball, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to have them that tight. So you know that he actually requested that, right? Which makes you think.
This is true. Well, look at Longo when you watch him. He's
there
he like
goes.
That.
Yeah, look at that, man.
Yeah, you're totally right.
And then we get Buster Posey again. Coming out in his career. In the clutch.
9-for-20 with two doubles or three doubles. Line drive, base hit. He's done it again. It's 7-1.
Boy, the offense has come to life.
I mean, at that point,
like that.
At that point, you know, the
pot. Yeah, it's at that point, it's destined. We're going to get there. And you kind of stop scoreboard watching, right? You kind of stop caring what the Dodgers are doing. And it was good because you look up what the Dodgers are doing and they were up, what, like 6-1 or something instantly, too. It was, you know, it was like, of course they are. Of course the Brewers can't beat them, too. Like, no, apparently nobody can. And some of those games, I think, tinfoil hat time, some of those games were a little suspect. At least as far as decisions made by the other team. Now you can kind of allow the Brewers to be like, oh, we're just gonna be really careful with our top three guys, right? But they took them out after what, like 40 something pitches or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was just like, man, they're just not even trying at all. At least the Padres were out there trying to win games against us, but yeah, it was.
Well, the Padres have jobs on the line. The Brewers knew what they were going to be doing next week. I think that's kind of the difference when you look at those teams. That's why teams that are spoilers fight harder. But I mean,
well, you had the progression, right, with the Brewers series. I mean, you had the Padres series before that, which we know they're collapsed. They've just mentally lost
it. The game they gave up four home runs, though.
But that was the one, like, I was going to reference. 9-5 lead. 9-5 lead. We're feeling pretty good.
Decisions about which bullpen guy to bring in. It was kind of weird.
Well, the guy had already faced the minimum. He had given up two doubles and two home runs, and Tingler kept him in there. And it was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, he's take him out, man. Like, even Padres fans are like, what the F? And he just left them in. Yeah, had four home runs in the inning. Dodgers come, you know, roaring back and win it. And then you had the Brewers. The first game, you had – I'm sorry, I forget the starter's name, but he's had a great year.
Burns.
They had – no, not Burns. That was game number two. It was the first game. And, you know, they had that 5-1 lead. And, again, Giants fans are sitting there going, hey, okay, all right, 5-1, here we go, here we go. And then Trey Turner, right? Grand slam. And then they just went off after that and easily won that game. And then you have the back end game, like where the Giants lost Saturday in extra innings, which, again, screw you, Manfred rule, which, by the way, of course, is not on deck for the playoffs, which is fantastic. But then, you know, at night we're like, well, Burns is going. He's not going to go deep. We know that. But he's going to win the National League ERA title. He's going to have a – no, never mind. Three-run bomb in the first. And then – he's pulled in the second or after the second, after only 42 pitches, and they put in a 31-year-old guy who was making his season debut. I mean, at that point, you're just like, all right, white flag from the Brewers. Like, they're not even trying. And it was just, it was frustrating, man, to see the Dodgers not only go 18-3 in that last 21, but 6-0 since our last podcast. Like you were just saying, we're like 5-1 mathematically will do it. That's going to be tough. Dodgers aren't going to go 6-0, so we think 4-2 is going to do it. Whoops.
Yeah.
I thought 3-3 might get it done.
I really thought
they'd lose a game or two.
Were the wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. It sucks, but it didn't happen.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's too many teams that deserve it this year. Like every team really did, you know, get the job done. Like you look at almost all the teams that clinched early, obviously, they made decisions, lined up their rotations, all that kind of stuff. They did what everybody else does. But the teams that really, needed to fight for it, every single team that's in this playoffs this year, I'm like, yeah, these guys, nobody feels like a pretender to me. So this is going to be – whoever wins this World Series is going to really have to freaking earn it, is what I'm saying. Like, nobody's going to lay down. And I personally, after watching this team win 107 games, I can't find a reason why it wouldn't be the Giants to do this. You know, I'm looking at these predictions and everyone still thinks obviously the Dodgers, but you know, the Giants had the most home runs, right? And they gave up the least.
Yes. I love that stat.
How are they not how is that not a stat everyone looks at and goes, well, that sounds like how you win playoff games when it's hard fought and, you know, there's less errors and things like that. It's the teams that get the big hit, the big home run, are going to win these games. And it feels to me like the Giants are the best at that right now, you know, and not giving that up in the other way. So, you know, we'll get to our predictions later, but I have a feeling I know what we're all going to say.
Now, of course, Giants are already celebrating early, but you got to admit, right? I mean, you know, the Brewers lost a 5-1 lead. The Padres lost a 9-5 lead late in the game. So Giants are up 7-1 in the bottom of the fifth. You're feeling good. Four innings left. Padres are just mentally not in it. So it's like if this was the Dodgers, it might be a different story. So you're feeling pretty good. And then, of course, Logan Webb steps up and goes, yeah, you know about that DH rule coming in next year? Screw that.
Hit down the left field line and out of here.
I mean, it wasn't cheap either. It went over the wall there quite a bit.
On the last day of the season,
it might be the last at bat a Giants pitcher ever takes, unless, you know, a game gets wonky somewhere down the line. So that's just kind of amazing.
Well, he's been swinging it.
Yeah, it's interesting the way the Giants were so good this year because of Gabe Kapler's mentality of I'm going to use all of my players every single game. But the DH, we're never going to see a manager manage like that ever again either, because you're just going to have your nine guys in the lineup. I mean, yeah, you'll still make some changes later when, you know, specific relievers come in and stuff, but yeah, we had, you know, we're never going to see the Gausman pinch hit walk-off sack fly ever again because you're never going to be out of players like that, you know?
I think they still will. And I think managers like Kapler will still do the line change mentality, throw all the righties out and then swap in all the lefties like they've been doing. I mean, 107 games, it's proven to work so far. This new model that the Giants have going.
I hope so. It's just you don't ever see it in the American League. In the American League, it's being a bench guy is purgatory. You're just what do you do? You just hope someone gets injured to play. It's just, you know. But I mean, definitely this is a new style. This is something that people haven't really tried before. So I have a feeling that you might be right.
Yeah, I just 107 wins is still hard to fathom, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's just I don't. How can you expect a future Giants team to even come close to 107? We saw 103 in 93, and we're like sitting here almost 30 years later till we saw another team, you know, reach that mark and even exceed it by four. I mean, Kapler's going to win Manager of the Year hands down. It's got to be unanimous. I don't see how it cannot be. To take a team that was forecast to win 75 games by Vegas, which, by the way, I looked up at our preseason totals. Willie had him at 75. I had him at 79, and Eric had him at 88. So, I mean, even us, you know, a bunch of homers still were like not even in the ballpark. It was just,
yeah, 20 wins short there. Well, 19, but yeah.
Right, which is crazy. And I had the highest total. I mean,
we thought you were insane. We're
right,
like,
that's a whole dude, month Eric, of baseball. Come on. Literally, that's a whole month of baseball. How it crazy is that?
So this stat I think is the one that we should all be hopeful about. So more than 100 years of baseball since the first World Series, 17 teams have won 107 or more games. Yes. 10 of those prior 16 won the World Series. Another 5 lost the World Series, and only 1 didn't even get to the World Series.
And that was the Mariners.
Yeah.
But the one with the best record, yeah.
Yeah, the one with the best record didn't actually get there. But there you go. I mean, 107 wins. History says we're supposed to be in the World Series this year, right? You know, if you want to say like, oh, that's just the regular season, because I've heard some people say this. Oh, a good regular season team, sure. But, you know, it's playoffs. Now it's totally different. It's like, no, it's still baseball, guys. You're still going out and you're playing baseball.
Yeah, to counteract it, though, just to say, if they play the Dodgers, none of these 107-plus win teams that are on this list
had to play
106-win team.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, in a 5-game, not even a 7-game series, in a 5-game series, that scares the crap out of me.
I really, really want to just see them just get bounced out in one game, though, just for the lulls, you know what I mean? It's just like 106 wins, huh? Not good enough. Cardinals beat you in one game. Like, I want that so badly.
Yeah, you think that's what you're gonna be rooting tomorrow night? I have gone over it in my mind. I have no idea which way I want it to go so far. I mean, I want the history, but
obviously, a series against the Dodgers would solidify. Like, if the Giants win that series, it solidifies to everybody, hey, yo, shut up, everyone shut up and watch this Giants team. That's true. But if the Dodgers lose in one game, that's also like, shut up, everybody. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
So, exactly. Yeah. Now, the way I look at it, and we can get to this later, but or we can just talk about it now. What do us three want? And for those of you watching, you know, put in your comments too here in Facebook. But do you want to see the Cardinals or the Dodgers? Now, for me, you can't tell the future. So if I were to write the perfect story, I would want the Giants to face the Dodgers and then beat them just for that satisfaction. But we don't know how that story is going to be written. And I do think that on paper, the Giants are going to have a much tougher time against the Dodgers and the Cardinals. So by that token, I want the Giants to have the best path, the best likelihood going forward. And I think they match up better with the Cardinals than the Dodgers. I mean, most teams do. Let's be honest. It's the freaking Dodgers, 106 wins. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Willie, there's still the satisfaction of if they get bounced in the first game or in one game elimination, you go, bet they couldn't even win with Scherzer. So goodbye, you know, and they should have won the division. So if it was a storybook ending, I would love them for the Giants to beat the Dodgers, especially because these two teams have not played each other in the actual playoffs before. They've had a playoff series like to when they ended up tied, but they have never met in the playoffs, and I think that would be pretty cool. But by the same token, I think they would have a tougher time beating the Dodgers.
Yeah, in a 5-game series, yes, for sure.
I like I said, I'm torn on this. I'm still torn. I really am. I want to see Giants Dodgers, but I'm with you, Willie. The sheer LOLs about. Mm-hmm. Forever, especially, you know, adding to it is if the Giants would win it all, they would say, well, yeah, they didn't have to play the Dodgers in the playoffs. Like, well, that's not the Giants' problem. That would be the.
They beat them 10-9. They beat them in the regular season.
Yeah, we beat them. We played them 19 mm-hmm. games in the regular season. We beat them 10-9. And guess what? We got into the wild card, or we got into the division championship by that one game. that one game against the Dodgers that you could say that that's it. That was all, you know, we had the same record against the rest of baseball.
I mean, I agree. I'm more scared of Bueller and Urias and Scherzer than I am of anybody else that the Cardinals could throw out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The guy that stymied them the times they played was some guy named Kim, and apparently he's not even in the starting rotation for the Cardinals anymore. So,
oh yeah, right. He shut the Giants down.
That's true. Yeah, and he's not there. So I mean, he's there, but he's not there. So path of least resistance. I'm with you, Cardinals. I guess I gotta root for the Cardinals tomorrow. You're right. I want to see Giants Cardinals.
That the last time we played the Cardinals was so long ago, and yeah, I remember we did struggle against them. But I was talking, there's a guy who I work with who's a huge Cardinals fan, and he was like, yeah, remember, we kind of gave you guys a hard time. And I was like, that was so long ago. These teams are, like, completely in different places now. The Giants now are going to thump you. I'm sorry. Like, this current Giants team, this September-October Giants team, I just feel like they're just going to beat everybody. Like, it's, you know, as the season's progressed and – you pointed it out earlier in the show that the records just kept getting better and better and better. My confidence as a fan and my confidence just watching this team just kept growing with them, with their ability to win, because it just seemed like it didn't matter who you put in front of us. We were going to take care of business. And I truly believe that. I don't see why that changes now. There's no reason to think that that's going to change now. So I don't actually really care which team does do it. I just want the Dodgers to lose because it's hilarious. But I think whoever wins, the Giants just take care of business. So
yeah, our good friends Chris Corbett and Mike Dowling. Chris said, cannot cheer for LA ever. I want Giants versus Cardinals, even with Goldie and Arenado. And he brings up a good point there because they're Giants killers. And then Mike Dowling says, I want Cards to beat the dirty Dodgers. I think all three of us agree. We want the Dodgers to lose, period. We can never vote for or root for the Dodgers. Never, ever, ever, ever. Yes. I always want the Dodgers to lose. I'm just saying, in a storybook, if I could write it would be very satisfying to beat the Dodgers in the NLDS. But not knowing how that story is going to end, I don't even want to open that book, right? I want the Dodgers to lose right away in one game and then just be like Nelson and go, ha-ha, and that's it, you know? Goodbye.
Yeah, my preferred book here is the one where the Dodgers just always lose, and it doesn't matter
just always lose.
Whether we do it or not. I just want them to lose all the time.
Cardinals are going to need to score to beat them, man. I mean, Dodgers, they put up runs this last week. Their last five games are 11, 8, 8, 8, and 10.
Yeah, well, we got Waino going for the Cardinals, and I was talking to my Dodger friend this morning at the gym, and he knows that the Cardinals are, at least historically, the Dodgers' playoff kryptonite. They always lose to the Cardinals, period. So, you know, he's a little concerned about that, but at the same time, he's also confident, like we are, with his 106-win Dodger team. He's like, yeah, and Scherzer, they are technically unbeaten in his starts. So he's like, they're unbeaten in his starts. They're going to roll. Don't worry. They're going to crush the Cardinals, even though Scherzer did get lit up, two starts ago? Mm-hmm. He gave up quite a few hits and runs. So hoping for something like that. Maybe Goldie and Arenado can go off on the Dodgers and, you know, use up all their home runs, you know, in the wild card game. But
I'm not scared of these guys either. Like, they might have been Giants killers in the past, but no one's killing these Giants. I'm sorry. This Giants team is different. It's just different.
The Giants have so many great playoff memories against the Cardinals. Aside from 87, where they did lose that series to the Cardinals NLCS. After that, the Giants have had really good success against the Cardinals in 02, right, for the pennant in, 12, was it? I mean, they've had several 14. Of these. Yeah, 14.
Well, we can throw all that out now, though. I mean,
they're different teams.
They're both different teams. And like Willie says, this Giants team is just so different. They're built so different. I mean, the 18 pinch hit home runs, leading the majors, beating the 2016 Cardinals. You know, it's funny because I keyed in on their record early this year, because in 2016 I was writing some preview and I looked up the Cardinals stats and saw they had 10 pinch hit home runs in like May, and I was like, wow, that's amazing. So I tracked it, and Austin Slater had four of them this year. But like, just things that the Giants do and implement, it's just such a different team than the Cardinals have ever faced, than the Giants have ever put out there. It's all the past stuff just goes away.
It reminds me of when the Warriors started telling everybody, Hey, you know what you should do, everybody, is just stop shooting so many twos and shoot threes because they're worth more points. And then we're just going to shoot a lot of threes every game. And look, we win every game. It's crazy. And you're like, you know, how could that be? It's like, well, guess what? When we make baskets, they're worth three and yours are worth two. It's like, it just, and you're like, everyone's like mind blown. But when you think about it, you're like, Jesus, this makes so much sense. So when you watch this Giants team, and I know I've brought this up in the past, but I think it can't get brought up enough. I think it's like one of the defining features of this team. Try to find me like a replay of Brandon Crawford taking an unbalanced swing this year. Like, you just aren't going to find it. It doesn't happen, because if he's going to swing at the ball, he's going to give it his top hack, right?
Yeah,
both. You're not going to be like diving across the plate, down, getting broken down, falling to his knees. And you see people do this all, like in baseball all the time. It's because what they're doing is reacting, and the Giants are predicting. The team is just not playing baseball the way everybody else has ever played baseball.
No.
They're going up there and they're just like, look, I know what this pitcher does in this situation. So I'm going to predict that he's going to do the thing he does in this situation. And I'm going to give it the solid home run swing that I can give. It's like they're taking BP swings out there to major league pitchers. You know what I mean? And like, it's like the first team to like figure this out, I guess. And this is why I thought it was really funny when you watch a Chris Bryant at bat compared to a Brandon Crawford at bat, because Crawford's been like doing this all year and Bryant came in halfway through and hasn't been able to adjust to this new like idea, right? But up and down the lineup, you're seeing this, you know, like Darren Ruff's doing this, Slater's doing it, like all the guys, Yastrzemski's doing this, all the guys, every time they swing the bat, it's like a good swing, you know what I mean? It's never this like, oh, whoops. And then, you know, so like there, that's why when they hit the ball,
well, the analytics
are good places, you know what I mean?
Are obviously to the extreme, not just with hitting, waiting for their pitch. And that's what they do, right? So they swing with both cheeks, even with two strikes, if they get their pitch, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't see them off balance. So they've bought into that. Certainly the defensive shifts and all that have actually borne out to have helped save more runs than if they were in the standard shift. So they call those correctly. They've also had more than 140. It was 143 or 144 different lineups this year, gentlemen.
Yeah.
They literally rolled out a different lineup every day because they're playing matchups. They set the pinch hit home run record because of those matchups as well, because they just pinch hit more, right? If you pinch hit more, you're going to have more home
runs. More than any team in the history of baseball.
The conventional wisdom is you don't pinch hit your backup catcher, right? Because what if your other catcher gets hurt? Dude, how many games have we seen where Casale just comes in as a pinch hitter? It doesn't matter. Or Posey comes in as a pinch hitter. I don't care. It's
part of that philosophy you were just speaking to, Willie, as far as how the hitters approach it. They're attackers. The entire Giants mantra, the entire thing that the team does is attack. So in any situation that they feel they have the edge, they go for the kill right then and there, and they don't worry about what's going to happen in the 10th inning that may never come. You know, they won't leave the closer in the bullpen just because they're worried that he might get a save opportunity down the road, and they'll bring in pinch hitters at that time. So it's like that whole mentality of the team, attack, attack, attack when they can. And everybody bought into it. You know, Longoria said something Sunday where he's like, you know, we sat here before the season and, you know, we were told to envision being NL West champs, and he had this look and he's like, and here we are now and we're champs. He's like, and I can't believe it happened. Like, you could tell he was a little stunned that it actually was put into place, because they all bought into that attacking mentality. So it totally speaks to what you're saying. That's what they do constantly in every situation. They're attacking. Their relievers are the best in baseball at pounding the strike zone. It's like every facet of the game, the Giants play attacking baseball, and it's not something that we've seen before. There's no passivity to them whatsoever. They are every moment trying to be a step ahead of you and attacking your weakness before you're doing it. It's almost Belichickian if you think about
it. Well, you know where else this really works? Everywhere. Think about anything you can do, any endeavor, and who's like doing the best at it. It's the people who are the aggressors all the time. Like, think poker. You know, poker, it's like, if I'm the guy betting, then you have to be the guy calling. And that's a
you have to make the decision, right?
Exactly. And so, you know, I'm going to make you have it. I'm going to force you to have it. And the Giants are like forcing you to have it. Like, yeah, I'm going to, our bullpen relievers are going to throw strikes, and you're going to have to hit them. You're not, because we're not going to walk you. We're not going to give you free bases, right? But on the other side, we're telling the other pitchers, you're going to have to throw your pitch and get me, because I'm not going to swing at it unless it's the pitch I want. And so I'll take the walk all day. Or what I'm going to do is I'm going to put both cheeks into it, and I'm going to drive this thing. And so they're forcing the other guys to make the great pitches. And and it's also we're not going to make errors. So you better get hits. You know what I mean? And like when you'd make errors, we're gonna make you pay. And like that's the kind of team that like it's just been so fun to watch, because this is the kind of like I'm sitting here watching it like, yeah, all this makes sense. This is the kind of stuff I do whenever I'm competing at something. I'm just like, nah, I'm gonna be the guy. Like when I play pool, I know I'm probably supposed to play safety sometimes, but I'm like, I'm just gonna bank this in, no problem. And then I do. You know, and it's like if you have that kind of mentality, it just things kind of tend to work out in your favor. And that's what we're seeing here. So I don't see them changing that. I don't think that the playoffs are suddenly going to be timid. So, other teams are going to have to come out and beat them.
They're going to do with what worked. And again, a lot of people don't understand. And even it took me a while to kind of fit. I love statistics. Statistics is a part of my job. I know literally how to do t-tests and ANOVAs and look at regression models and all these other things. And it really is about sample size. And so, you go through a given game and they have their defensive shifts, because more often than not, it's kind of like, if you think about blackjack, right? You could be in a bad situation where you have a 16 against the dealer's 10. It's not going to go well for you probably overall, but you slightly increase your odds by hitting on a 16 than you do if you stand on a 16, right? Most likely sure. You're going to lose, but it's slightly better. It's just like the defensive shifts against certain guys. It's just like putting in a pinch hitter in a certain situation. I mean, clearly these guys are still going to fail 2 out of 3 times, 4 out of, six times, whatever it may be. But it's the accumulation of the small margins of success that add 1 or 2 or 3 wins a month. And that's the difference we see with this team. So if you see a normal classic lineup where you have, an all-star, let's say right-hander, and it's late in the game and they put in a right-handed pitcher, it's like, well, yeah, but this guy has 30 home runs this year, so you got to leave him in to hit. Kapler's like, nope, I'm pulling him for late night Lamont because he hits righties better, right? That's the mantra the Giants have been doing. Doesn't work out every time. It can't work out every time. It's baseball. You fail 2 out of 3 times at minimum and you're still an all-star. But if you have a guy that gets a hit 2 out of 10 times versus a lefty versus 3 out of 10 times versus a lefty, that's what you're going to do. And over time in late night or late tight close ball games, that's where you get those hits, and that's where you get those 1 or 2 victories a month. And I think people, it's hard to see, over just a night to night kind of thing. But when you look over the whole season, you're like, damn, that actually works. It's just stats, mm-hmm. baby. It's spreading the love to particular players who have strengths in particular situations.
You talk about spreading the love. 17 players on this team hit 5 home runs. That is the most for any franchise, any team ever. 6 relievers on this team pitched 50 innings and had a sub-3 ERA. Again, the most in baseball history, which is just crazy when you think about all the interchangeable parts that means the Giants have been able to use and utilize the entire time. And it really speaks to it. And those pitchers, 3 of them are righties and 3 of them are lefties. It's mm-hmm. really something that you're right. That's why they can do those interchangeable experiences.
Yeah, no, it's the conventional wisdom for baseball is have my setup guy and my closer. And we do still have that technically, but you've seen too that we've adjusted that model as well throughout the year. And, it's just this, it's a team that's built out of, we have a former MVP. Well, we have a couple former MVPs on the team, but they're not currently like, these aren't like the Tatises of today, right? There's no single guy on our team who's like this. And our MVP candidate is Brandon Crawford, who I actually think really has a really strong argument. When you look at his numbers, it's not like they're like so much worse than the other guys, but the team, the one thing that really matters is the wins, right? And like those are so much higher. But it's just like, yeah, the team is not built around, this is not the Barry Bonds era. This is a team that's just built around 26 guys, not, 3 or 4 stars. And it's like every team in baseball is going to have to adjust to this. I think, because I think, especially like you say, the sample size of one season isn't very big. This model seems like this could work year after year after year.
You know? Oh, no, no. I think the sample size of one season is big enough to see those changes. Okay, but I mean, like a week to week, you don't necessarily.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these pinch hit situations fail, right? They'll fail more times than they succeed. So you're going to have, just like with, you know, clusters of stars in the sky, you have randomness. So you're going to have weeks where nothing works for you. And then you have other weeks where it's just like money. I mean, you had Saturday when I was there, you had Lamont Wade Jr. starting at first base. And when the Padres brought in the left-handed reliever, what was it, in the fourth or fifth inning, he was yanked for Slater, like, mm-hmm. like that. I mean, how many managers do that, right? And so Slater comes in, boom, bomb, right? It's like suddenly they take the lead again, 2-1. And then likewise in the seventh or whatever it was, the eighth inning, you had Dickerson now in for Slater facing the righty, which a lot of people were pissed about because, you know, Dickerson just has had a really bad year. Slater just hit home run. And actually, Slater looked a little upset in the dugout, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. He was not happy with getting pulled. But that's kind of the microcosm of what, you know, Kapler's done all year. It doesn't matter what time of the game is. If it's appropriate, he's going to make the move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how Slater feels right now.
Yeah.
Sitting on 107 wins in the NOS Division Championship.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I think, yeah, this is the thing. It's everybody has to adjust to this because this is like the, you know, and when I was saying like a season sample size, I mean a season sample size, not regarding what you're talking about, but regarding a team trying this method out, this mm-hmm. new style, because now we're talking, we've only ever seen it once. This is the only time. This is the only team that's really gone this hard into this, right? I mean, you talk about Moneyball being like kind of the beginning of this, this kind of progression that we've seen. But I think the Giants are the team that's really pushed it to its limit, right? And like, this is the first season we've seen of it. I really do think, though, it's like, yeah, you can build a team like this over and over and over again. And, you know, people might say, oh, well, how are you going to have, you know, Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey and Brandon Belt all having like career years at once? It's not really about those guys. It's about having guys that are willing to do the system that you're putting into place. And those guys are just guys who are really competitive and want to win. So when this new system kind of got put into place, they were the kind of guys who were going to adapt really well to that. So you just need to look for guys like that, really competitive guys who are going to work hard every day and are going to, you know, do what's the game plan is, right? And the game plan before was very different, and they were doing that. They were doing that game plan when it was different, and it worked then. Now there's a new game plan, and look, it's working now. So it's like this team, this style of team to me, hey, you can do this year after year after year because there's not going to be a couple of giant contracts. We got a bunch of middling contracts and guys who are just out there doing their job. It's incredible. I'm so happy that this is like that. The Giants were the team that did this,
They don't have to win 107 games to do it every year. Like this is kind of an anomaly. How many games they had to win?
Yeah. I know, but you know,
the model worked to that extreme is amazing.
Look, though, the Dodgers won 106 games as well in the last full season in 2019, and they had won 8 division titles in a row. And so it's like, I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers could
win, I know. Are we 100 plus have to do this games again next year?
That's the problem I see with this. This I can't say this year for the Dodgers was anomalous because that's two full seasons in a row they've won 106, guys. I mean, like, it's like, oh crap! If the Dodgers, you know, are at this level in terms of their talent every year for the next few years, that might be what it takes. And that's
they're not going to stop spending the money. That's for sure. So, we're going to have to figure out something. I do really think, though, that baseball needs to take a look at its playoff setup because of a situation like this. You got a 106 win team, 107 win team. One of them is going to be gone after the championship series or the division series. Right. So, that's weird. That's weird. Not a lot of
they both could be gone after the division series, hypothetically.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. But you know, it's like you think about what the NBA does, where it's like it doesn't really matter your conference or whatever, or your divisions, it matters your conference, right? And it kind of makes sense, you know. It's like
you do bring up a good point because like who really cares about the Pacific Division banners hanging at Chase Center?
I know.
Like literally no one cares. I sometimes even forget the name of the division that the Warriors are in, right? Because like, yeah, you don't even care about that. But in baseball, it's like so big of a deal to win your division. It's like, oh, we got a flag. It's like the pennant chase, even though it's not technically the pennant. Yeah, it's insane. But I do think, just like in 93, the, you know, baseball went to the wild card system because of what happened to the Giants. That was kind of the nail in the coffin for that. I do wonder, and this is an anomalous season. It may not happen that often, but I do wonder if they're going to look at it and go, yeah, the two best teams in baseball, probably one of them shouldn't be in an elimination game, and probably both of them shouldn't face each other in the first round if the Dodgers win, right? So it's kind of like, yeah, they might. But, you know, then you would have to address things like divisional balancing, right? Because they have an unbalanced schedule with 19 games against your division because they put so much weight on the division. You got to play them 19 times. You play all the other teams, whatever it is, 12 times. So I don't know if they balance that out. I doubt they will because that'll increase travel and all that stuff.
Yeah, so. You're talking baseball, 162 games. Like, you're not going to be going, well, we have to take an equal number of trips to New York as we do to, you know, to LA.
They used to do that stuff, though. Like, I've been playing a season on out-of-the-park baseball from 96, and the schedule's balanced that way. I've gone to New York twice, while I only go to Colorado twice. It's very, very weird. The balanced schedule that we've dealt with over the last few years has become the norm, and I think that that's what shifts the weight to it. I think that's a players union thing. I think they'd have to agree because of the travel things that you bring up. I think that that's exactly where the ball would land on that one.
Yeah, well, the CBA is coming this year for probably, you know, the DH and all these other things, and that could be a part of it.
I mean, on the table, right?
Because the expanded playoffs, much like what happened in 2020, you know, that would happen. It was interesting too because, you know, this year, if the Giants had tied the Dodgers, they would have had to have the playoff game, despite the Giants getting the tiebreaker. That was just for home field. Last year, they were victimized the opposite way. They tied with the Brewers, but they used common divisional opponents or common opponents and records against, and they didn't have a playoff game. That was just like the Brewers in, the Giants are out, even though they had the exact same record, which you're like, wait, what? But it was all, you know, COVID related. So I don't know if they changed those things or not. I do know.
They don't do that in other sports. Like football doesn't add an extra game if teams tie. Even basketball or hockey doesn't add an extra game. Baseball is the only sport that really ever extends their regular season. And I think that's part of the uniqueness. I mean, we always talk about the romantic part of baseball. And I think that's what makes this a pennant chase in that sense where they might not. I think going 2 out of 3 in the wild card round is probably the closest thing we'll get to a solution to all this.
Yeah,
I think that's a possibility because nobody wants, like you said, nobody wants to see one and done. MLB baseball is MLB baseball. MLB is praying that the Dodgers beat the Cardinals. I'm sure of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the Dodgers, you know, the Giants, of course, win the division by a hair, and I mean, you can point to a dozen or more games this season, and we don't have the time to go through every single one of them, but I did want to bring up obviously some of the biggest ones against the Dodgers, which directly not just made a one game difference, but made a 2 game difference. It's a swing of 2 games. And so probably at the top of the list is, I'm going to bring it up right here, is of course what Mike Tauchman, RIP forever Giant, did back earlier in the season here in the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs. And the score tied at 5 with Albert Pujols at the plate.
Got to hit the home run to tie it.
Man, everybody thought that was it.
Is caught by Tauchman. He robbed him.
You can see the Dodgers.
Albert Pujols came that close, and he may just be finding out right now that was not a home run. Mike keeps the Giants alive in this one.
Well, Austin Barnes stuns the Giants, and Mike Tauchman just stuns the Dodgers.
It's like fuel, you know, watching the Dodgers' reaction.
I think that's the mantra, right? Is let's get Tauchman in the ring, baby.
Get Tauchman in the ring. No kidding, right? Oh my lord. No, that was incredible because that is a 2-game swing because the Giants came back, of course, and won that in extra innings. But that would have been it.
That was key.
I know this is the butterfly effect. We don't know if the season would have ended exactly the same, but you can't control for that. So.
But Rodgers just gave up the tying home run on the batter before it. That's what made that catch so much more incredible at the time. It was like, all right, those are what the guys are saying. Dodgers are better than the Giants. Oh, no, wait, they're not. That was like
they're
the moment.
Not better.
Right? Just by one leap.
Unbelievable. And then you had another great moment, and this one was at Oracle Park back in July, and you had Darren Ruff at the plate, and a lot of Dodgers fans, of course, bring up the check swing by Darren Ruff, and we're not going to play that one because that's an umpiring thing, and it happens all the time, every game. You can break down 1,000 bad calls. It does happen. But, of course, this is the notorious Cody Bellinger, so here we are in the bottom of the eighth, tied at one against the Dodgers.
A little check swing bouncer. Muncy's going to field, and he didn't get Yastrzemski. So now Posey ranges away. Posey will come in to score.
That would have hit somebody in the 10th row if that net was
there. Yeah, without that net.
Yeah, without the net, yeah. 2-1. That was the City Connect magic right there.
Only one loss. Only one loss.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, a lot of Dodger fans always point to those things and go, see, the Giants barely won it. And it's like, but that's baseball. Like, not every game's going to be 5-0. Like, there are games that are decided on, you know, defensive miraculous plays or errors by a team or a bad call. I mean, that's all part of the game. And so I don't know what else to say. If the Giants had lost by a game, I'm sure we would be, you know, feeling the same way. But, I mean,
that's this is the way what the winning ball 9 division titles in a row does to a fan base. It makes
I think
them
you're
feel
right.
So friggin' entitled. Right, we're supposed to win every year. We're supposed to be in the World Series. Like, all right, well, sucks to suck this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you find all the social media like, oh, they're cheating. There must be some steroids out there. It's like, wait, no one even hit 30 home runs. What are you talking
Apparently
about?
Apparently everybody's cheating, whoever beats the Dodgers. They're cheating. And meanwhile, I don't know, but in my brain, I fully believe being able to spend $100 million more than every other team is cheating. So I'm sorry. If I, you know what I mean? It's like if I had to play against a pool player and I had to use a house cue and he got to use – you know, a balabushka that costs $5,000. I'm going to be like, yo, you have an advantage here, bro. Like, you know, so it's like this to me, I'm like, yeah, that's unfair. You want to talk about unfair? There it is.
Oh, man.
Just the Giants designed a Dodger-proof team this year. Yeah, another game you mentioned, the Trey Turner throwing error to pull the first baseman off the bag where Buster hit the first base and signaled safe afterwards. That's just in the Dodger-Giant games.
Yeah, that was just in the Dodger-Giant game. And they did the review, and, of course, the it stood, and the game was over. So. And then, you know, there's many other common opponents. You know, they came back against the Cubs. They came back against Arizona with the Yaz Grand Slam. You had the Brewers outfielder Garcia dropping in La Stella fly ball, which would have been the end of the game. Yeah. I mean, it goes on and on and on, but it goes the other way, too. The Giants, you know, were up by, what, 4 or 5 runs against the Rockies, and they blew that. And, you know, when Charlie Blackmon hit a 3-run bomb or whatever. So, I mean, the Giants have been victimized.
That's it, though.
Less than more than they've
come on. That's it. That's all you can think of. That's part of why the Giants won 107 games.
Yeah, no, it's
we really, I mean, every year we watch and you know they'll lose a game and we'll be like, God damn, that'll be one of those games we look back on. And there was like none of those games this year.
They were all
the
beginning of the year, really.
They really were there, and they were all like on the road.
Yeah, as time went on, it's like I can't remember any more of that happening.
I can't either. I mean, is that just because they were winning or did those games just not happen?
Well, it was funny because like people were bringing up all sorts of little fun stats and stuff to like try to prove like how it's actually the Astros are the best team, which is, you know, this is Ty's thing. Yeah, Ty does this all the time. He's like, let me talk to you about, you know, the WRC plus of
scoreboard, bro.
And like all year, he's like, yeah, we had so many come from behind hits. And then like I was like, yeah, but we were ahead in the ninth inning. That's
like, yeah, that's the whole point, right?
We were already there.
We didn't need to come from behind hits.
But even in games that we were behind in the eighth inning, the Giants did apparently win a quarter of those, according to a John Boy video, the breakdown of Buster Posey messing up the double tag or whatever. In that video, that's what he goes, this stat, this is all you need to hear about the Giants. When they're down in the eighth inning, they win a quarter of those games. What? Like, come on now.
Yeah, so, that's dumb. I know. But overall, yeah, the Giants had 5 walk-off wins. They did have 10 walk-off losses, but some of those, again,
because we're high ahead games, in the ninth inning. We don't need a walk-off, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
It's this is what's funny about, you know, you talk about the sample sizes. Like, everybody always remembers, you know, the blown save or whatever. But what they don't remember is that, you know, 107 times in the ninth inning, we won the game. You know what I mean? So it's like, yes, there was a couple of blown saves. Every team's going to have those, and you're going to remember them. I know. It's like when people remember, why am I blanking now? Casilla, right? And they think he was a horrible reliever for us. And I go, look at his stats over his career. He was incredible for us so many times. And yes, he had one season where we tried him as the closer and it didn't work out so hot. But, you know, like, he had like a sub-2 ERA for like a lot of the time he was a Giant. So, you know, it's very easy to only focus on like the bad memories that you remember. It's like the bad beats in poker. You remember all these bad beats, but you don't remember the time when your aces held up, you know what I mean? And you won the pot.
I look, 107 wins, right? They were in first place 151 days, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this is not a fluke. They were consistent there. And because they won so much, it was, and again, it's a product of social media, so you're always going to have the crazies out there. But, you know, they could win 7 in a row, and then they lost a game. And this people would come out of the woodwork just, I can't believe this. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude. They've won like 13 out of 15. What the hell? Baseball. What else are they supposed to do?
But, man? I mean, we were being measured against the Dodgers all year, right?
Yeah.
So, the Dodgers were like so friggin' hot that, you know, it was like, well, the Giants have to be hot too then. And they were. What's incredible is when you talk about the Dodgers record and then they go, over that span of time, they gained 2 games or whatever, right? And then, those people are talking about the Dodgers record. They're going, they only gained 2 games. It's like, yeah, let's talk about the Giants record because it was ridiculous too. And if we, you know, if you didn't have both of these teams literally measured right up against each other, each one of these teams, everyone would be talking about is just the absolute flat out best team in baseball. But because they were like so close together and jockeying the whole time, it was just always this comparison that kind of made either one of them seem a little less impressive because it's like, yeah, but look at the other, look what they do. But really, it's both teams are incredibly, like, both teams are, you take out both of them having this in the same season, and, like, everyone's just talking about whichever one is left, right? So,
right. Definitely.
Well,
the Dodgers got first place. I was going to say real quick, the Dodgers got first place for one day, and social media went off. one day.
It is amazing.
And then they never gave it back.
Even on that day, you had the MLB or ESPN or whatever the hell it was. You know, it was like, you know, they've reclaimed it with the big graphic and the whole thing.
All West.
And they lost it. They lost it in 18 hours or whatever it was. Yeah. And then everyone's making graphic checks on there, like with just like crayon marking. It was great. And now it's resurfaced after they won the West. Yeah.
That was a highlight of the season.
Oh, that was fantastic. Because, you know, when the Giants reclaimed it, there's no graphic. There's no fireworks. There's no nothing. It's like, come on, man.
I think we can definitively say the Giants own the West.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Dodgers are not going to overtake us, guys. It's not going to happen.
I mean, hopefully not in the playoffs, but definitely not the West. The West cannot be taken.
Yes,
so
the West cannot. Yes. By the way, guys, I have to take off because it's 2:16, and I have to be at work in 45 minutes. So
gotcha.
Yep.
All right, Willie. Well, thanks for joining today. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Real quick, though, I'll give you guys my predictions for your thing at the end here. It's pretty absolutely. Simple. It's pretty simple. The Cardinals are going to win. Oh, AL wild card, that's going to be the Yankees. And then the NL wild card, Cardinals. NLCS, the Giants. The other NLCS. I'm going to go with I'm actually going to go. This one I haven't really thought about very much, to be honest. All right, you know what? I'm gonna go with the Brewers. I think, it's just the pitching. Just the pitching is gonna do it. And if the Braves had Acuna, maybe that'd be different. But
yeah.
All right, ALCS, Tampa Bay, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And then AL. So then let's see. So now where are we at?
Tampa Bay or Houston in the World Series?
Houston. San Francisco. Mm-hmm. San Francisco. There you go.
There you go.
There it is.
We are so predictable. I just want to point this out to you, Willie. The numbers guy, Chad, went with, and I don't want to blow up the spot, but we're here real quick. The numbers guy, Chad, went with the most number-centric pick with the Giants Rays.
Yeah.
You went with your most homer-type pick, the Astros and the Giants.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with my most homer pick, the Giants and the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So we all fell totally right into character here.
Yep. Yeah, we like our characters are well defined after so many seasons of this show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like we fell right in.
I just, you know, like yes, if we were talking about the storybooks at the beginning of the show, if I'm writing this storybook, this is what I want it to be. I want the Giants to beat the Astros in the World Series. I want it to go 7 games. I want it to be incredibly exciting. And you know, it's this scenario is not unlikely. This definitely could happen easily. So, all right, boys.
All right, thanks a lot, Willie. Show.
Go Giants, absolutely. And I'll see y'all next week.
All right. All right, see ya.
See you later.
All right. I just want to remind everyone, we'll get back to our picks here in a second, that support for TorchaCast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. That's right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TorchaCast at manscaped.com. So that's pretty cool. I know Willie has definitely used it. He loves it so far. He had to leave, so he can't quite give his testimonial, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that in later shows. But don't forget, 20% off and free shipping with the code TorchaCast at manscaped.com. So we thank our sponsor for helping us out produce this show. All right, well, Willie's gone now, but I just wanted to hit a couple more points about some news for the Giants. Lamont Wade Jr., of course, won the Willie Mack Award. So I wasn't really sure who was going to win it. I mean, again, they've had so many heroes this year and so many good clubhouse guys. It was, you know, and we're not in that clubhouse either, so we don't know a lot of the dynamics going on. But it's not a surprise that he won. I don't know if you had any thoughts about that.
It was weird. The last few years, I noticed that I put thought into it ahead of time. And this year, I was so distracted with the pennant race, so distracted with how close every game was and how big everything was. I forgot about it until an hour before game time Friday night. And I tweeted out my thoughts in the world at that time. I said, you know, Belt's a possibility, but it's probably going to go to Wade Jr. And I got it right because he's just that mold. He's that guy. You know, usually it's a young up-and-comer who contributes to big situations and seems to be well liked in the clubhouse. And, you know, Logan Webb probably would have been a very good choice as well. I think if you're looking to skew it towards the young guy who has an impact, those two guys probably were well deserved. And Lamont, it was real sweet to see him throw the first pitch to, or his mom throw the first pitch to him.
Yeah, that was cool.
You know, have the whole family involved, and you know, they were there all week, and they were soaking it up. So it's cool. He's been kind of welcomed in as a forever Giant. So I hadn't put much thought until it. Right beforehand, and when it was named, it was like, yep, that makes sense. That's who it should be.
Duvall won National League Reliever of the Month. Who the hell saw this coming, Eric? I mean, this is a kid who gave up, of course, that Charlie Blackmon home run I was talking about earlier, and we all recognized his raw talent. Oh, my God, he'd throw 102 and have that nasty slider. He just, you know, he lost control. He didn't quite have that refinement. We're like, okay, he needs some more seasoning. And we're all thinking maybe by next year or the year after it's going to take. And he comes back up, and he freaking blows September away. Didn't even allow a run. I mean, he was going out there with his first career save, and he got, what, three or something like that by the end of the year? They were easy. They were like the closers that you are used to seeing, like a Mariano Rivera, kind of like 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. There was like no stress with that kid out there. And what impressed me was after they won the West, they were interviewing interviewing him in the hallway with his interpreter, and they basically asked him, "Do you like being out there in the ninth?" And he said, "Oh, I love it. It's there's nothing like it." Like his, I can't remember the exact verbiage he used, but it was something pretty funny. And I was like, okay. I mean, mentally, this kid looks like he wants to be in this situation. And so he clearly helped the Giants in the last month, definitely closed out a few games with Willie McGee. So Willie McGee, wow, that's a flashback. The Alzheimer's kicking in with Jake McGee coming off of the IL, but not having pitched, but assumedly going to, of course, be on the postseason roster. What do you think happens, man? Like game one, let's say it's a one-run lead, go into the ninth inning, they used Rogers in the eighth, or does he do something like Rogers in the seventh, McGee in the eighth, Doval in the ninth? Does he flip-flop them? Does he only use one? Like, okay, let me put it this way. Let me ask you this question. He only uses one of them in the ninth. Who does he use?
See, I think that's not the case exactly, right? I don't think he's only going to use one of them.
Yeah, that's why
I think it's going to be a matchup-based thing. Rogers, I think, is out for the ninth inning. I think the fact that Duvall emerged in the ninth inning guaranteed that. And so I think that Gabe will play matchups. I'm a little upset they didn't give McGee an inning on Sunday just to give him an inning. You know, he hadn't pitched in 2 weeks. The guy needed something before the NLDS. Also, it would have been nice to have him on the mound for the clinch. He was the closer for most of the year. But, I mean, when you got a guy putting up stats, 14 in the third inning, striking out 20 batters, only walking three, not allowing a run, it's, you know, seven hits in how many batters? 743 batting average against. I mean, Duvall is just a stud. He is this year's flash in the pan phenom coming out of the bullpen, and you got to ride him when you can. You just do. And if you're going to face, say, Arenado and Goldschmidt in the ninth inning, I'd rather see Duvall out there than McGee at this point. I really would. I didn't expect to be saying that, like you said, a few months ago, because Duvall absolutely came up, was not good, and needed seasoning. And whatever he fixed, he fixed. I think it's that slider of his. That slider's a breakout slider.
Oh, my Lord. That thing is,
it's tantalizing right there. You know he throws 100. So when it's coming in there at like 88, 89, 90, and it's on the outer half, you think it's a fastball, and then bam, it just cuts right away. I mean, it's a killer wipeout pitch. So I think he'll play matchups, and I think the Giants fans should be okay with that, because just like Willie and you and I have echoed all day, everything they've done that works, works. So might as well keep going with the plan.
To see left-handed batters twisting in pretzels on that slider is a thing of beauty. They're like, and they're almost hitting their toes with their bat. I mean, they just look ridiculous trying to adjust to that wipeout slider. I do think that I was surprised Sunday with a whatever 7-run lead in the ninth inning. He didn't throw McGee because it's a low stress inning. It's a good opportunity for him to stretch it out for an inning to get three innings or three batters or whatever under his belt. And on top of that, like you said, he was the closer for most of the year. So it was kind of ceremonious almost. It was like, he probably should have been the one to get the Buster hug, right? If he struck him out. Obviously, Leon is fantastic, and he did a great job. And the Padres were just laying down. But I was surprised we didn't see McGee. So I do question, is there a reason for that? Maybe because he had just come off the IL, and there was a lot of chatter about him not actually being ready, but he was going to be on the roster in case. So maybe he wasn't quite ready, and maybe he's going to be thrown on the side, and he'll be ready for the NLDS. I don't know. But I do agree with you. I think it's going to be matchup based. So you have a few lefties up for the Dodgers or the Cardinals in it's the eighth or ninth inning. You might see McGee. If it doesn't go well for him, I do know that all of the armchair quarterbacks are going to come out and go, how could you have thrown a guy who hasn't thrown in 2 weeks? How could you not throw the guy who was the NL reliever of the month and hadn't given up a freaking run? You're going to see it. So
he's already in a no-win situation. That's
he's in a no-win situation because, yeah, if Duvall pitches against the lefties and gives up a gopher to win the game, you're going to hear the same thing from the other side. So, but Kapler isn't worried about that. I know that. He's not worried about what people think. He's just worried about winning. So I don't know. It's interesting because I think if McGee had pitched a little bit, he has a little bit more of a choice, stat-based choice and performance-based choice. But now it's kind of like, yeah, Goldie and Arenado and a bunch of righties coming up. I think there's no doubt it's Duvall. I mean, you got to go with Duvall there. But if you get a bunch of lefties up, I don't know. We'll see. But it could be an eighth, ninth, anything. You know, maybe it is Rogers in the seventh, McGee in the eighth, and Duvall in the ninth. Again, dependent on who's coming up.
I mean, he trusts Rogers to he went two innings the other day. So if he trusts him, you know he's going to put him in high leverage. But I don't think he'll put him in the ninth. So I think he'll just keep playing matchups. That's how you win.
That's how you win. That's what they've been doing all year. And it doesn't work 100% of the time. And when it doesn't, that's when people, you know, crap on you. But
come contract time, like Jake McGee or Duvall is not going to be screaming, well, I had three saves in the NLD. I mean, they're just not going to be doing that. It's not something you do anymore.
So also of note is the times for the games. They were announced this morning. The Giants will be playing Friday game one at 6:37 p.m. Pacific and Saturday night at 6:07 p.m. Pacific. So they're getting the I guess it's not the prime time slot, it's the late night slot, because you know, East Coast it's 9:30 and 9. I mean, people are starting to head to bed in the fifth inning, so I think it's good for the West Coast because it's, you know, 6:30, people are getting off of work and can watch the game. I myself put in for credentials. We'll see. It's the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to allow me to go. The Giants do control the first round for media. They do not control the CS in the World Series. That's Major League Baseball. And obviously there's no way we're getting passes to those suckers, but you know, figure, well, give it a shot. Hopefully I'll be there for game one and two. That would be freaking amazing. But if not, we'll still be bringing you coverage. Also, Angel Hernandez is part of the umpiring crew for the Giants and LDS. Ah, crap. Now, it is six umpires for the playoffs. I'm hoping out of five games, he's not at home plate, but you know, if they do go five games, he's probably going to be at home plate.
He's a crew chief, so he might even be the crew chief on this crew. And I think usually the crew chief goes in game three now for the umpire rotation in the NLDS. So
I don't think he's the crew chief. I read it was another guy. I forget his name. I don't think he's the crew chief. But
if he starts in left field, we're good.
Yeah.
If he starts down the left field line, we're totally free and clear. That means he will not end up behind the plate.
Yeah. It was just funny. It was just like they came across the wire. It was like, Well,
Joe West is calling balls and strikes for the NL wild card game.
For the wild card. I know. It's like, and I know he's like done after this year, but holy crap, man. That guy, both of them. Poof. Anyway. All right. So as we wrap it up here, let's look at our playoff predictions. Obviously, Willie already gave his own. He's going New York and Seattle to win. Sorry, Seattle. St. Louis to win the wild cards, although Seattle was close. The Giants and Brewers to be in the NLCS with the Giants winning that. Tampa Bay and Houston to be in the ALCS with the Astros winning that. And then, of course, the Giants winning it all. For myself, Boston is at home. They do face Cole. And that's going to be interesting because obviously Gerrit Cole is amazing. And Eovaldi is going for the Red Sox, and he's been great down the stretch. But Cole's been hit a little bit coming down the stretch. So I think Boston pulls it out with their home field advantage. I want the Cardinals to win. But the Dodgers are undefeated behind Scherzer. And they got him after the trade deadline. That's a long stretch. And yeah, of course they can lose. But again, betting man, I got to bet that the Dodgers are going to win this game. So unfortunately, I do think it's going to be the Dodgers. For the NLCS, look, the Giants took the season series. They won. Everything is on a razor's edge, Eric. I mean, honestly, I do think the Giants are going to come out on top. They're not going to sweep the Dodgers. They're not probably going to beat them 3-1. I mean, they have won 3 out of 4 before in series. But with that formidable pitching rotation that the Dodgers bring out, the Giants are not – this is not the kind of pitching rotation they score 8 runs off of. This is the classic torture – late inning 1-1 ball game. That's what almost every game probably is going to be, unless the Dodgers get a blowout or something. I do think the Giants are going to edge it out. I do think it's going to take 5 games, and it's going to be pure torture. But I do think the Giants are going to come out on top. I think the Brewers rotation, they are missing Devin Williams in the bullpen because he got drunk and got mad and punched a wall.
I was going to bring it up too. Like, you stupid idiot.
That hurts the Brewers for sure. But that starting rotation is so formidable as long as they don't pitch like they did against the Dodgers. But, you know, whatever. The Braves are just one of those teams. They got in. They won a weak division with 88 wins. 88 wins. I mean, that's like they were wild card contenders who didn't get in. You know,
both
Seattle
NL wild cards, yeah, had better records. Exactly.
Yeah, both NL wild cards. All of the other division opponents, and even the AL. Yeah, you said both wild cards, but yeah, even both AL wild cards.
You're right, 91
better records. So they have the worst record coming into the playoffs at 88 wins. But we've seen stranger things. The Cardinals. I mean, the Giants have won it with 88 wins before. I think actually 87 one year. They won the whole thing. And the Cardinals won it one year with 83 wins when they were the wild card. They were 83-79, I believe, that year. Barely above 500 in 2011. And they ran the table and won. That's with David Freese and all that magic. So, look, the playoffs aren't about who's hot at the end of the season. It's about who's hot in the playoffs. That's just plain and simple. You get those heroes out of nowhere. And I think the Giants line up well for that reason because of their depth. They have more potential heroes coming out of, I'm not going to say nowhere. It's not like a bench guy, but they have a lot of guys who have shined at different parts of the season. And anyone could take over. It could be a Tommy La Stella. It could be an Austin Slater. It could be an Alex Dickerson if he makes the postseason roster. I don't know. It could be any number one of these guys, which is incredible to me. So I do think that it's going to be the Giants and the Brewers, and I think the Giants can take the Brewers in the NLCS. I think it's going to be Tampa Bay and Houston in the ALCS with Tampa Bay coming across. I think that just the similarities between the Rays and the Giants are so there. They're so there. And Tampa Bay is not about the one or two stars. It's about the sum of all the parts. They are built so similarly to the Giants. Clearly, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. But on paper, I do think it's going to be the Rays and the Giants with the Giants pulling it out. And I've never predicted them to win the World Series in any of our playoff predictions. So that means they're cursed. But whatever. That's what I'm going with.
I hate doing this exercise in a year when our team is in it. Because your heart, I mean, forget the fact that they won 107 games. Our hearts were going to lean that way anyways. So, like, it totally skews the data in a sense because it is being looked at through a clouded lens. That being said, I obviously, like I said earlier when Willie was here, that I think the Giants are going to win it all as well, except I think they're going to play the White Sox. And so I have the exact same NLCS as you, Giants, Brewers. I have the Giants beating the Dodgers in five as well. I want to pick the Cardinals. I'm going to root for the Cardinals, but the Dodgers might hit five home runs and it'll be like, ho-hum, no big deal. I mean,
right.
They've done it day after day after day lately, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do it again. But like you said, against the Giants, they're just different type of ball games. The Giants seem to have their number in that respect. Mm-hmm. So I will take the Giants over the Dodgers and the Brewers to possibly sweep the Braves. That is the Hank Aaron series in the year Hank Aaron passed. So both teams have patches, have 44 patches on their uniform. So it's very interesting that they face each other in the playoffs in the Hank Aaron year. And then over on the AL side, I think the Yankees will beat the Red Sox. I just think they're thumpers and their pitching is too good for tonight. But Tampa will end up beating the Yankees. And the White Sox will beat Houston, like I said, just because I think the White Sox, you said it depends who gets hot. So I'm just hoping the White Sox get hot at the right time because they ended the season like, totally crappy compared to these other teams.
Yeah.
It's the second year in a row they've limped into the playoffs and they lost last year to Oakland. So, you know, hopefully they don't have the same fate. And so I'll take the White Sox over the Tampa Bay Rays because of, again, a homer pick, and the White Sox will get hot again with the bats. And, you know, I don't want to say that the Rays model can't sustain itself because that would be an indictment against the Giants. So I'll just say the White Sox will hit a lot of home runs and win that series in like six. And then the Giants beat the White Sox in six games to win the World Series.
There you go. So all three of us, yeah, we're homers, but we're all picking the Giants, and it's not a year in which they won 88 games. They won the most in all of Major League Baseball. Right. They're a very well-balanced team, not subject. Okay, we're back, everyone. Sorry.
I'm not going to.
The internet went down. So were you still able to stream there and talk?
Yeah, I was. So if somehow your software will pick up the gap, I mean, I didn't say anything of consequence. I was going to wrap it up, though. I was just texting you. I was going to wrap it up if you did not get fixed.
See, that's a good thing about using a service like this, because like I lost my internet, but at least the service still continued with the stream. So yeah, no, my everything went down for about a minute there. So I apologize for that.
But Facebook hack got to you
too. I know, that's why we delayed until today. I think all of you, you know, if you had your withdrawal from Instagram or Facebook, we just couldn't even connect to certain services. Willie didn't have internet at all. So we just decided to postpone the show because Willie definitely needed to be a part of this kind of celebration podcast, because my God, it's the first time the Giants have won the NL West since 2012, breaking the Dodgers' 8-season division streak. So it just feels good, man. And it feels so good to do it in a way where it's like it hurts more for the Dodgers. You know what I'm saying? 106 yes. wins and one game, it hurts so much worse. It's just like, ugh. You know, I mean, they may have the last laugh in the playoffs. We'll see. But for right now, this feels good. Gosh darn good. And before we wrap, I will ask you this question, because all of us, even with your 88 wins, which might have qualified, well, I mean, obviously now it wouldn't have qualified because the Cardinals, what their record is, could have potentially qualified for a wild card spot. And with Willie and I not even thinking they're going to sniff a playoff spot, let's say they get bounced in the NLDS. Is this season still a success for you, Eric?
No. It's not anymore. You won 107 games. You're the best team in baseball. Anything short of reaching the World Series at this point, I feel like, I don't want to say is a failure, is a disappointment. If you win the most games in your league, you should have the inside track, should be the team that represents your league in the World Series. And it's fun when they're the wild card and they race off to do it. And that's great and everything. And the expectations are not there. You know, those are the years when the Giants are the wild card. Those are the years where you're saying, well, all right, cool, they won the wild card game, so if they don't make it past the NLDS, it's no big deal. And this year, I think you are expected to make it farther. So I think because the expectations have changed throughout the year, it becomes a bit of a disappointment if they don't reach the World Series or at least the NLCS. So yeah, if they lose in the first round, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to probably be gutted more if they lose in the NLDS than if they lose in the World Series. The World Series, I can understand. Anything can happen, but the best team should win the first series. But I mean, I agree, Mike. I do. Anything can happen in the playoffs. We all know that, but 107 wins should stand for something. The fact that they win 2 out of every 3 games, that means it should continue into the playoffs. So I would absolutely be disappointed if they don't. So, I mean, would it be a success for the overall general picture? You know, maybe 2021 will be like, remember that team? That's the team we built off of. But right now, here in the immediate, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm not going to feel like they're a success. And I don't know how long it'll take me to realize that they are.
I know. We see it every year in the baseball playoffs, right? There's always there's often the juggernaut who gets knocked out in the DS or CS, and you feel bad for them. And I'm kind of with you, Eric. I think if you, again, you know, April, Chad, if you told me, oh my God, they're going 107, but get knocked out in the DS, I'd be like, oh my God, are you kidding me? That's a totally successful season. Okay. Now that we've experienced the whole season, the ups and downs, the challenges, and just the thrill of that last game of the season, winning the division, the satisfaction of it, and realizing how truly good this team is in almost every aspect of the game, from offense to defense to pitching to relief core. They really don't have a strong weakness on their staff or in their clubhouse. I would be disappointed if they don't make it to the World Series. I mean, you know, asking for it all is a tall order. But I mean, if they get the pennant, that's going to be great. I still want them to win the World Series. But yeah, if they get knocked out early, it is going to be a little disappointing because they have the tools to make it far. And if they don't, shit happens, and that's the way it goes. But
I mean, they have a lot to build today. Off. Right. Our expectations today are not the same as our expectations were in April. And to hold ourselves to specifically those expectations doesn't doesn't make sense. Our opinion of the team has evolved over the season. So it would only make sense that our expectations and wants and wishes would also change, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, there'd definitely be some whiskey consumed if they win or if they lose. I think that's the way it's going to roll. So, all right. So games 1 and 2 of the National League Division Series is going to be this Friday and Saturday at 6:37 and 6:07 Pacific at Oracle Park. Games 3 and 4 at the visitor at either St. Louis or Dodger Stadium on Monday and Tuesday. And then if necessary, game 5 back at Oracle the following Thursday, which, you know, hopefully, you know, that doesn't happen. I hate when things get so stressful like that, but that is what happens. And then, of course, we got the AL wild card, the storied franchises, New York at Boston tonight, and then St. Louis at Dodger Stadium tomorrow.
That's amazing.
All
the
of
four
our
wild card teams, cornerstone franchises, Cardinals, Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees, cornerstone franchises in Major League Baseball in the wild card games. That's
absolutely
weird.
It's fun to see. It's totally fun to see. So, all right. Well, don't forget our sponsors, Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TortureCast. Go take care of your family jewels. So you can also follow us collectively at TortureCast on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. If you're watching us on Facebook, you already know where to get it. If you're listening to the audio podcast, you can find us wherever you get your favorite audio podcast. We're on Spotify, Stitcher. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Google. We're on iHeartRadio, all sorts of platforms I probably never even heard
of. Mama's Podcast Network.
Yeah, RSS feed is out there. So it is not hard to find us. You can always go to torchcast.com. We try to come live to you every Monday or so during the playoffs. It's going to be completely different. We don't even know what our schedule is going to be like, but we'll be sure to notify you on Twitter and Facebook to go ahead and do so. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits with the number 2 for Eric. And the Giants need a lot of 2OutHits in the playoffs. Hopefully that comes true.
Key and of course, to life.
That's right. Key to life. And of course, Willie, who had to leave to get to work at Willie Dills. Hopefully I'm there on Friday and Saturday in the press box. If I do get passes, I'll be there early to try and stream some batting practice and get some clips of Kapler and such. But that's about all I have. What about you, Eric? Anything going on?
No, not at all. Just join us in the Giants Chatter game threads during these games. Let's enjoy the hell out of this. And thank you to all of our listeners here. It's been a wonderful season, something we could not have expected this year to be covering, to be watching. And, you know, the fact that we keep doing this is because people keep downloading and keep listening. So I really appreciate all our listeners, all the people who tune in for the live stream. It's appreciated on this end. And I hope you appreciate the content that we bring you too. I mean, we're just a bunch of Giants fans who love the team. And it's kind of crazy that we get a platform to talk about them for a little bit and we get to have a little fun with it. So thank you to everybody. And I'm so looking forward to these playoffs. I can't wait for October baseball.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well said, Eric. That's good stuff. Thanks for everyone for joining. We'll be back at some point. We'll let you know when, hopefully next Monday, if not, because it's my wedding anniversary, so I might not be able to record. But that's something I have to work out with my wife. So we'll get a erratic playoff schedule going. But anyway, until then, that's episode 241. We'll see you next time for episode 242. For Eric and Willie, this is Chad signing off. Have a fantastic week and go Giants!
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.